Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Straight Talk, straight out of Michigan, airing through the broadcast airwaves of blogtalkradio.com. This is a special and informative series that will be brought to you in 3-minute parts. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the only one, the number one, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Malta City Maharani, keeping you informed, addressing those greatest and latest topics of great concern to you, the participating audience, and those who simply want to get in the swing of the know. Because we all know that knowledge is power. And the more we know, the further we go and the further that we grow. And the more knowledge that we gain, the more we can help and assist others. And not only assisting others, I mean, it's about empowering ourselves to make those needful and necessary changes in our lives. There's two levels in which we exist. We exist on the natural realm, and we exist on the spiritual realm. And despite what some people may not quite understand, the balancing of either of the harmonies together in a collaborative fashion, we must admit that there is definitely a level of existence outside of where we are at this present time. But nevertheless, you must have that balance. And we definitely get our spiritual food from daily manna, from manna on high, and miracle manna. Many of you have listened and have definitely shown appreciation for the presentations that we've given you in the way of biblical instruction. And there's numerous of you who say, you know something, as being a dedicated educator and a commissioned teacher, you need to come back to us as being that problem-solving conduit to help us to balance through the natural aspect of things. That's right, because there's issues that sometimes permeate people from gaining spiritual knowledge and momentum because of natural things that are occurring in their lives. And that's what Straight Talk is all about. As we're going to address those issues that are definitely perplexing and a definitive concern. And thanks to those of you who have emailed me, who have texted and inboxed me, I'm coming forward. I'm coming full speed ahead. Because there is America, there is Europe, there is Australia, there is Asia, there is Africa. That's right. There is South America, there are people around the world. Let me say Antarctica, too. We don't want to leave out our friends in Antarctica. There is a going and growing problem. I know many of you are probably reflecting back to that commercial about the urinary tract miscombobulations. And let me tell you something. That is a needful concern area as well amongst our male population. But no, this concern that we're talking about a going and a growing issue of great perplexity, it's not dealing with the human anatomy and the way of operatives, of base-level operatives. We're talking about a behavior, a going and growing behavior that is taking over our population by storm. Is applicable in all age groups, applicable in every ethnic community, even into the religious establishment. That's right, the religious establishment as well, even into the socioeconomic status. It has become so diversified and so out of hand, and to so many individuals who are the victims don't know what to do to combat the issue. We've been looking at the state of the economy. We've been getting so overtaken with the very essence of the upcoming presidential election that we a lot of times allow the things that are really of meager importance, of great importance, to slip through our fingers. But we don't talk about those things. We're so focused on what's going on in a panoramic view of world events. We forget that the little things that mean so much to us on the grassroots level, that going and growing problem is not the joblessness rate, because actually, as many of you have kept up with the joblessness rate, it has decreased by another 5.7% because the President of the United States of America has made sure that he has opened those doors that remain closed for such a long period of time to the job market. And the expansion of the educational operatives have definitely helped to get individuals back into the workforce. So kudos to the present administration. So no, we're not talking about joblessness. We're not talking about drug use and drug abuse, because that is something that is pertinent, that has been with us for the decades. And that's why we see all of these treatment centers and all these various types of interventive mechanisms that are being publicized over the mass media conduits. We see that happening all the time. So no, it's not that. It's not the gambling issue, even though they definitely glorify going to Las Vegas and the various casinos around the country here in the continental U.S. of A. We see that. But we see a lot of programs such as Gamblers Anonymous that have taken up the tactile to deal with the issue. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about obesity, because we do know from the worldwide case studies that we have observed so many reports that Americans are perhaps the heaviest individuals in the world by far, because of the fast food regalia that oftentimes we grace our lips with because of convenience. We're people that are constantly on the move. Our momentum is fast-paced, modus operandi. We know that already. So that's the reason why you have all these various types of exercise programs and eating right programs like Atkins, and we have Nutrisystems, and we have Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers. That's the reason why we have all of these programs to help us to address that. And to the more extreme measures, we even have bariatric treatment centers that actually offer a surgical alternative to help individuals who are considered morbidly obese. That's right. So we already know that problem is being dealt with. No, no, no. What we're dealing with is something that many of us think we're outside the box, that we don't even belong because we're no longer of the younger population. So we don't think it's happening to us, when indeed, by far, we are experiencing this type of going and growing issue. And the going and growing issue, many of you are going to laugh about it, because actually, as I did my polling of speaking with other individuals within the community and outside of the intermediate community about this, I had to rather chuckle myself. The going and growing problem we're going to talk about in three segments is bullying. That's right, bullying. Let me spell it for you. B-U-L-L-Y-I-N-G. Use a capital B. Bullying is the issue that we're going to talk about. And the calls to action 4.5 years ago, we came up with an action plan. Actually, a friend of mine that resides down south in Tennessee, we decided to create an organization called SCAV. Let me tell you what SCAV stands for, and then we're going to get into the depth of this discussion and address a couple of your questions and your concerns, and we're going to come back at a later date and go to part two. Listen, SCAV. Schools, communities, and athletes against bullying. We took on that call to action because we began to notice even back then, that's right, back in 2011 going to 2012, that there was a disturbing anomaly of incidents regarding bullying, not just amongst young children and teenagers. And how many of us remember the Columbine incident of the 90s? I mean, it left America in peril. It made us look differently at the educational system. It made us look differently at our high schools and our educational establishment, saying, could this happen here? Could we be another statistic on a growing national or even international list? Let me tell you something. When those two young men got tired of being bullied. That's right. Schultz and Keybold. When they got tired, Eric Schultz and Eric Keybold, when they got tired of being bullied at their high school by other students, and I'm telling you something, these two young men were death different from others. That's right. And the students that were bullying them apparently wanted to gain a reputation at their expense. These young men got tired. They were well-mannered, very mild-mannered individuals. They went to school administration. What does school administration do? They try to work it out amongst yourselves. Okay? They went to their classroom instructors. Well, I'm sure at least a few of the incidents happened before the classroom instructor. What do? They brushed it off and say, try to settle things on your own. These young men even went to their parents and actually asked for assistance, and their parents refused to get involved. And they were too busy. So what ended up happening was that these two young men who got tired of being pushed around, and don't say it was racially inclinated, because these two young men, for the record, were Caucasian, and the students that were bullying them were not only Caucasian, there was an African-American student that was also involved in the group. So bullying is cross-diversified. It means that it's not designated to race, creed, color, religious beliefs, factions, socioeconomic status, educational status. It is cross-sectional. This is a going and growing problem. So what happened? These two young men got tired, and they took matters into their own hands, and they gathered up firearm arsenal, and they went into that high school and began to exude their frustration, then turn the anger upon themselves. Why? Because they were victims, victims crying out to be heard and to be helped, and no one wanted to answer and rise to the call of intervening to prevent these young men from any further psychological and even physical attack. Yes, America's student horror and this disbelief that something like this happened in a suburban setting. Again, bullying is not designated to the rule, to the lower economic stature. It's diversified. It's everywhere. It's no escaping the parallels of bullying in the present day of things. And the horror was that no one picked up the ball and continued on to the court to score in selling what was going on. People had to get hurt and die as a result of ignorance. See, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can be destructive. Turning away and saying, well, do something about it on your own, we have other things to do with, can be detrimental to the well-being of others. And the image factor is not important. What is important is that we look at bullying from all aspects. And this is the reason why Straight Talk is here, because we're going to address and give you some invigorating perspectives into this area, let you know it's not designated amongst certain creeds or colors. It's not designated to certain individuals of educational stature. It's not limited to people in a social life or setting that may not be as adverse as others. So it's definitely an issue that we're going to talk about. And guess what? The most invigorating fact is that, and get this, from personal interviews that I've had confidentially with people in the professional line of work. When I say professional line of work, I'm talking about people who are in the financial field, who are in the marketing field, who are in the educational field, who are in the commercial entertainment field, that have experienced being bullied. That's right. So listen, here's a frightening statistic, and you want to write it down for the record, do so. Out of the 32 people that I interviewed over the span of the last month, in a diversity of fields and professions, 27 of them actually admitted to be victims of the bullying behavior factor. That's right. Isn't that scary? So only 5 people didn't feel that they were subjected to that type of psychological cruelty. They actually confessed that they were victims of being bullied. And out of the brutality of the 27, now you know 13 and 13 equals 26, out of the brutality of the 27 people, you still got a 0.5 mechanism that remains. 14 of those individuals were male, okay? So that's a little more than half, right? Because 14 and 14 would be 28. So 14 of those individuals were males, and the other 12 were females. Well, it's definitely a very high rate for females, because you think about us as women. As females, we're nurturing, we're caring, we're loving. You know, and we're compassionate. We're willing to express our inner emotions of our mothering character. But when you revert to the fact that there are female bullies out there as well, that's rather a frightening statistic. They almost take on an Amazonian-type perspective, quote, unquote, me not. So there you have it. And actually, 12 and the other person that was named into the totality of things actually stated that they had been bullied right in their own household. That's right, by their mate. That's right. So nevertheless, it's a frightening statistic. This is on a commercialized level. And the last person, that's the reason why I mentioned it last, was on that inert level. That's right. So bullying is a going and growing problem. And what happens is that we are in denial. We're so busy. We just think that, oh, this person just is outspoken. They just have something against that person, and they're probably just trying to prove a point. No, when the behavior becomes perpetual, it becomes continual, it becomes done on a mannerism, on a scale where there is an audience. See, bullies don't like to do things in an isolated perspective or projection. They like a live listening and viewing audience where they can make an image point. That's right. Make an impression upon others. And that's another factor. We can't keep on letting ourselves be numb and dumb to these facts and saying, oh, she's just pushing something that's not important. It is important. If we don't want to see another Columbine, we better start listening. That's right, because there can definitely be a Columbine right in our own educational settings or our workplace. And for even an example, let's go back to the year 2000. How many of you may have heard of or not heard of the incident at the Royal Oak Post Office? That's why the term going postal became so well nationally recognized and perhaps now used all over the world, going postal. There was a man who actually was employed at the Royal Oak Post Office who had been bullied by his supervisor. You know, I guess he didn't fit into the practicality of who they wanted to be within their intermediate circle, or else he didn't flourish to the point of, you know, gaining brownie points for whatever have you reason. He was treated as an outcast. He was bullied. He was bullied, and another individual was given his hours. They were given his favorable position, and he felt as though he was the underdog. Well, point of matter perspective, long story short, is that this young man got so angry, so frustrated. No one would hear him. Perhaps he might went to his union professional. They refused. And what's the purpose of a union if you can't take on the grievances of your, you know, your supporters? You're taking out those dues for what? You're taking out those dues to do your job. Say it with me. Unions are taking out dues to do their job. Well, apparently they didn't do their job very well because this young man got so angry, he toted the steel. He gathered his firearm arsenal, and he went into that postal station. He shot the manager. He shot another supervisor, I guess those who were oppressing him, and the other coworkers that were perhaps conspiring with him. And other innocent people were also shot then before turning the weapon on himself. Why? Because he had reached out for help. And no one wanted to help him. So we don't want to see another incident like that happening because people are tired of being manipulated, monopolized upon by others who deem them as weak or incourageous or incapable of fending for their own. So we've got to deal with this problem. We've got to deal with it. So let's go back. What is bullying? Bullying is the behavior that is utilized from an individual who we refer to as the aggressor as a way of impinging his or her will upon others while at the same time gaining an image for themselves. So that's what bullying is. When a person tries to push around others or attempts to do so by demeaning that person's character as a way of asserting themselves in more psychological terms. That's right. So that's what bullying is. Let me tell you the whole mechanism behind it. What does the bully want to achieve? The bully, whether they're a child, median or in between or a teenager, or they're a full-fledged adult, or even an older adult. Number one, they want attention. One thing that bullies like to do is gain attention at the expense of others. They want to become everyone's eye candy in the sweet shop. They want everyone to look at them and to deem them as somebody important, somebody that deserves focus. So that's the number one. The bully wants to gain attention. Number two, the bully wants admiration. Attention is just not enough. They want admiration. What's the difference between attention and admiration, Mama Ronnie? Let me tell you the difference. The difference between attention, that means you got my eyes focused, and I'm going to look and listen perhaps. But when you get my admiration, you get my overall focus. That's right. And I begin to admire you, admire what you say, admire your image. I start following you. Then that way you can persuade me. That's right. So they're looking to mesmerize people with their uncalibrous behavior. Third thing that a bully wants to do, a bully wants to strike a sense of fear into the person whom they're bullying so that they can manipulate them or monopolize upon them, and they want to build up a character that they're tough and invincible. So they want to encompass a sense of fear. The fourth thing, what does a bully want to do? A bully wants the ability to manipulate, to make others subservient to them. And in doing so, their ego is being bolstered through the roof. Yes. They're being bolstered. They're feeling that they're really, really important and that they feel as though that they are needful and necessary in that place. The fifth thing, what does a bully want to do? A bully wants, and this is the sad factor, the fifth factor. I know you say you're talking just like that psychologist again, but I'm just giving you the base level facts. I'm being very contingent using layman's terms. The bully wants to be respected. Ha! That's a laughing matter. The bully wants to be respected. They want to be regarded as someone of superficial importance and that what they say matters and it has to be adhered to, and because they feel as though that nothing should be done without their authorization, and therefore they deserve to be respected. And that means with the respect they get notoriety. And people say, you know something, that person is something else. You know what she did? She told this other person what to do, and then she came back and asked her, what did she have to say, and so forth and so on. So they gained notoriety and momentum so that people would almost look at them as a celebrity. Did you not know that? Isn't that psychotic or what? You would actually say that a bully must either have multiple personalities in their conjuring or a myriad of other things. You may even say this person may have a borderline personality. Now, Adolf Hitler, now for the record now, we're taking you around the world, but we're proving a point. I love to use vivid examples, that's right, in citations. Listen, do you not know that Adolf Hitler, when he was very young, he was diagnosed as being a paranoid schizophrenic with a borderline personality disorder? What's the difference? Well, see, a person that's a paranoid schizophrenic has something in their life that was not complacent or positive. And as a result, that person processes things inwardly. So everyone doesn't act out extramatter. Some people process things internally, and they start turning things into a mannerism. And see, when you turn things inwardly, it becomes emotional. That's why certain things will set off as a catalyst and coerce certain behaviors. So he had that disorder, and then along with that, he had a borderline personality, which means that a borderline personality is different from a schizophrenic, because a borderline personality will be a person that's median, they're in between. But if something triggers off a certain behavior, unlike a paranoid schizophrenic, a paranoid schizophrenic doesn't need a catalyst. They can just go off at any given time and come back to reality. But see, a borderline person needs a catalyst to set off a chain reaction, and it will exert to them becoming a totally different person by the parallel of the way they dress, all the way to the way that they speak and even their character. That's right. So he had two strong bulls in his court that he was dealing with. And he was a bully. Why was he a bully? Because he felt inadequate. He knew that mental illness dwelt in his family, that he had the questionability factor as far as his Aryan origin was concerned, and he had other associate family members that had psychological disorders. So to assert himself and to make himself feel better, he had to bully those whom he felt he had the competitive edge upon. And when he captivated that audience, he drove the most lethal leviathan as it relates to a genocidal-based war machine that has ever been recorded in history, more terrible than Kublai Khan and Genghis Khan, even more torrid than Attila the Hun. That's right. Even more lurid than Ivan the Terrible. That's right. He was even more deadly than all of those individuals combined. That's right, because he was a bully. That's why he had to resort to that behavior. That's why, as many say, that his hatred generated from an event in his life, not only because of his origin, but because at a very young age he had contracted syphilis from a Jewish prostitute. And that during that period of time, there were very limited levels of treatment for individuals who had this condition. And this is the reason why he had this issue with these muscular contractions happening involuntarily so. That's right, because of the syphilis destroying his brain. That's why many say the reason why he acted that way is because the man was totally psychotic. He had both of those conditions because his brain was being deterred and destroyed through syphilis. And this is the reason why he was getting saline injections. Look up the story. And just for yourself about the life and times of Adolf Hitler, and some of you more in-depth want to read Mein Kampf, my story. That's what is interpreted in English. So do that at your own convenience. But nevertheless, these were bullying types of behaviors. And if you don't address bullying behaviors, and we've seen with Columbine, and we've seen with the World of Postal incident, and with even Adolf Hitler, if we'll talk on an international scale, the most horrific things can and will happen. So it's important to understand the dichotomy of the behavioral trait of bullies. I say to you what they want to accomplish. That's right. And those things are very, very exclusive when it comes to those who are bullies. What do bullies look like? Bullies do not have a definite physical characteristic. Some people say the biggest guy in the group, he's the bully. Not always. The bully oftentimes is the person who has the capacity, the gift of gab, the presentation of character. Sometimes the physical stature is not there, but because they have the ability to influence others and to impinge their will upon others, this is how they gain the momentum of being a bully, because many have even quoted through the historical findings about Napoleon Bonaparte. That's right, the French general, that he too was a bully. And this man was of a very minuscule appropriation physically. That's right, barely 5 foot tall, barely 100 pounds. That they claimed that this man was a bully, okay? And many even stated that Joseph Stalin, that's right, was one of the most tyrannical rulers ever in history, even more, you know, unleashed than Saddam Hussein. That Joseph Stalin, he was a man of very small stature, and he was a grandiose bully. Many people have proclaimed that. So it's not about the physical appropriation, it's about the psychosis of that person's character. The strength of the character makes a bully. The gift of gab, the ability to persuade others by words, makes the bully effective. The bully's ability to captivate an audience and to gain momentum of making others think or persuading others to think in a certain mannerism makes a bully. The cause of which the individual has within their own unbalanced persuasion makes the bully. So bullies are not designated to a certain size or specificity. That's why it's based upon the strongness of their cause and of their character and how well effectively they can present it. But we're laying the foundational mechanisms that we're going to really get into the discussion and the types and areas of bullying as we progress on with part two and part three of Straight Talk. But we're with part one of bullying brought to you over the Blog Talk Network through Straight Talk. That's right, through Straight Talk. And listen, another factor that we need to talk about before we go into tomorrow's segment is that bullies, oftentimes, part two of this, the momentum of their character is what makes the bully. And when they have the size, that really helps to gain even more momentum. And the second factor is that, and then you didn't know that this is the unraveling, the unresting part. Bullies oftentimes are individuals who have been bullied in times past themselves. So many of them have what we refer to as an inferiority complex. Let's say that, an inferiority complex, accompanied with what? Recessive anxiety. That's a dangerous combination. This is how, you know, your Kublai Khan and Genghis Khan, your Ivan the Terrible, and your Attila the Hun, that's right, you know, and Taras Bulba, and all these other historical figures of mass, you know, genocide and murderous capacity are birthed into the world. They start off as bullies. So if a person has gone into their younger years, I'm going to give you a final example. As a young child, as a young man has been in a household where he has definitely felt threatened, perhaps by a father figure who was not necessarily so his biological father, but the associative father because he's involved with the young child's biological mother. And the biological mother sees fit to appease the associative father, who's not the biological father of this young man. So that means that sometimes she will sublime to his demands, even though she may feel guilty. She feels as though that this man offers her some dexterity of stability. And as a result, she will attempt to do everything to please him, even if it means that her son has to eat last, that her son has to gain her or focus her attention last, she must please this man. And because this man wants this woman's focus, he will oftentimes cause the child to do jobs that are demeaning, demoralizing, or cause the child to be in the predicament where he's punished unlawfully, so unrightfully so, that he uses psychological weaponry of embarrassment, threat, and denigrating statements about the child's character, about his physical appearance, about his academic ability, about his mobility as a person, and that person absorbs this. And see, young women, we take things inwardly, but we express them outwardly because it's in our emotional character, our being to be expressive, to be talkative. But when it comes to male children, males are different. They exude everything within until one day a Chapman sends off a chain reaction of an event or a course of events that can turn the very pages of history itself. So if this young man has been in that household and absorbed all this cruelty over the years, he sees that this behavior that has been exuded to his mother, through his associate father, and his associate father upon him has gained momentum, then he feels that there is some degree of validity behind this man's behavior because he's caused his mother to cower and he feels forced to act in a manner that's totally counterclockwise of his own desires, of his own will. Well, maybe this behavior means something. So what happens? This young man grows up in that household. He gets of age where he can finally begin to express his displeasure about what happened to him in the course of his young childhood. What does he do? He looks for someone that may else feel very secure about themselves or may possess a quality that he himself wished that he possessed. And as a result of him not having the capacity of that ability, he will attack or attempt to humiliate that person. as a way of asserting himself. Because why? He has been deflated and denigrated himself. Now, do you see the perpetuating cycle that we're creating here? We start off with a young man, the young child. Then the young child grew into a young man. The young man grew out into the world. And as a way of exerting himself and making himself feel better about himself, he exudes the same behavior that was impinged upon him. So this is what I'm saying to you. Bullies oftentimes were bullied themselves as a very young child. They were mangled. They were tangled. They had been annihilated and had various types of punitive actions orchestrated upon them. So they're angry, especially when it comes to males. That's right, because again, men are from Mars and women, we're from Venus. We process things and exude our displeasures totally different from each other. So this is what happens. So oftentimes bullies have been bullied themselves and they're just merely acting out the things that have happened to them. Another thing that you need to know about bullies. And we're laying the foundation of next tomorrow. We'll really be getting into the depth discussion and answering of questions. Another thing you need to know about this: did you not know that bullies, they put on an image of being these strong, courageous individuals who will attack everything and everyone, when deep down inside they are crying out for help? They're crying out without shedding a tear. They're crying out for help without saying a true word about how they feel. That's right. They're just the opposite. Bullies are cowards. That's right. For the record, bullies are cowards. They are cowardice. Why? Because they feel that if they don't set the tone, if they don't maintain the integrity, if they don't set the image intact, that they will be victimized again. And one thing that a bully doesn't want to do is feel victimized again. He feels and she feels the greatest aura of their attribution is to bully and to assert authority over others. And this is where they get their strength from. Listen, this time has went by so rapidly. Tune in tomorrow. That's right. Tune in tomorrow at the same time, 3 o'clock p.m. We're going to do part two of addressing the bullying epidemic. We're going to identify 30 parameters of bullying in the workplace. Did you not know? And this is something that you really need to think about. Bullying in the workplace has really become a common night occurrence. That's right. I'm going to give you some instances. You may want to create your checklist that if someone has threatened you about what you're eating and saying that you're putting on more weight every time they see you look bigger and bigger, and then you begin to feel ashamed and change your eating habits just to please others, you've been bullied. That's right. If someone tells you, you know something, every time I look around, you're always at the water cooler. Why don't you bring your own water? You're drinking up all the water, and then you have coworkers that feed into their demeanor, and they laugh, and then you feel embarrassed for drinking all the water and guilty, and all of a sudden you decide to go bring your own water without putting up any resistance. Instead, bring your own water bottle to work, fearful that you may come across this person and say something to you again. You've been bullied. That's right, some simplistic ways to identify whether or not you have been a victim of the bullying perspective. Look, it's been a wonderful conversation with Straight Talk. We're speaking straight from the heart to deal with the issues that affect us most. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, the Self-Notes, the Motor City Mile. Why don't you say, see you on tomorrow. Until then, take care. Oh, yeah.